This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. New developments across the region are usually welcomed with open arms by public officials and often with lucrative tax breaks. And while that business model is good for the developer and some of the new buyers or renters, there's a growing adverse effect on people who already call these communities home. The Property Tax Working Group was created in response, and it's led to decisive action at Cincinnati City Council, where a cap on residential property tax abatements was voted into law. Let's talk about more of this. Joining Cincinnati Edition today are Carol Gibbs, the Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation president and CEO and co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group. She's on the phone with us. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
And we also have with us via Zoom Mount Lookout Community Council board member Laura Whitman. Laura, thank you for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
If you'd like to join our conversation today, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or shoot us an email at talk@wvxu.org. Carol, I want to go back a few years when you first approached Vice Mayor Chris Smitherman over concerns about vulnerable residents being displaced during the redevelopment of your neighborhood and the surrounding area there in Mount Auburn. What was it that you were seeing there?
Actually, it was not what was going on in Mount Auburn as much as what was just going on across the city and the development and redevelopment in the neighborhoods, and how many people were talking about mainly seniors and those with disabilities or special needs being forced out of their homes because of property taxes going up a lot from, you know, their $60,000 home they've been living in for 25 years, and the CDCs or the developers building a building next door for $1 million and having their property taxes artificially raised, or the property, the value of their property being raised artificially. So it was being talked about, Walnut Hills was being talked about a lot and over the Rhine. And so I just went to Christopher and said, I have concerns about this. There are so many parts of property taxes that tend to make people vulnerable. And so we just started talking about it. That was March of 2018, actually.
What were you hearing from community members at that time? What were some personal stories that were relayed to you?
Basically things like the property taxes going up and they could not afford to take that increase. These were retired folks who were on a limited income. They could afford what they had, but taking your property taxes from $3,000 every 6 months to $8,000 every 6 months is something that they just couldn't afford. The other was code violations and the concern that developers and realtors were actually reporting people for things that weren't real, and therefore having those residents being forced out by threats of expensive repairs.
And so to be clear, we're talking about then, Carol, new projects, new housing developments that are able to move forward thanks to tax incentives, tax abatements, and they're placed next to existing real estate. And because of the new
Right.
development, the existing real estate's value increases, but along with that is an increase in the property tax, and that's what's adversely affecting those residents who already called those areas home.
Correct. And what I really wanted to make sure was that those seniors or those with disabilities or special needs, that if they chose to sell, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But just not to be forced out.
That is, that's Carol Gibbs of the Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation. She's president and CEO there, also co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group. We're also joined via Zoom by Laura Whitman, a board member at the Mount Lookout Community Council. Laura, are you seeing similar situations in your part of town?
We are. We've, over the past number of years, we've seen a lot of development come into the neighborhood. And what some of the tax abatements have created is a situation where a $300,000 home is torn down and a $1.2 million home is put in its place. The home is significantly bigger and it is much more expensive, and that is having an adverse impact on the tax rates that the neighboring property folks pay, as well as it changes the character of the neighborhood. It takes it from the charming community that we have and is putting in new development that doesn't quite fit.
So, Laura, what type of feedback has your immediate surrounding neighbors offered to either developers or the city that may need to greenlight some of these projects? Has there been pushback?
There has. People are very concerned about the impact that this development is having on the neighborhood. As I mentioned, we're losing a lot of the more traditional type of housing stock in the neighborhood. The one thing that the community does acknowledge is development happens. That is, it's part of the life cycle of how communities advance and age. But some of the issues that we're dealing with and that neighbors are dealing with and objecting to is, one, the impact on the rates that they're paying and the fact that the new people coming in are getting abatements and not paying anything for 15 years. But it's also filling in the green space, taking down a lot of the trees and the yards that people have grown to love and the reasons that they come to this neighborhood. So it's kind of a double-edged sword around here.
That's Laura Whitman, a board member at the Mount Lookout Community Council. We're also joined on the phone by Carol Gibbs, the Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation president and CEO and co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group. Carol, the Property Tax Working Group was able to be involved in some conversations with city officials. There was legislation adopted by city council not too long ago capping the tax abatement on homes over $650,000. What were your thoughts on that that ultimate ordinance that was adopted?
Well, the new housing CRA limit had been removed in 2007, so there have been no limits to what developers could build, and that's kind of what Laura's talking about in Hyde Park. The other concern was the lot split. And so if I own a home and I decide I'm going to build myself a new home that's three times more expensive than my current home, and I'm going to sell two pieces of my property to other people, and I'm going to build homes on those two lots. So now we've got three homes on what used to be one lot with one home. And so the homeowner is making money, and the taxes that the tax abatement is really not getting rid of all the taxes due. It remains at the tax value of the existing, what was initially there. So you're paying, he or she would be paying the taxes that were due on the old house, the old property. But now it's divided by three people or three homes, and they don't have to pay anything for 15 years on the addition or the improvement, which would be the new homes. I think the numbers should be lower, but what this does is it takes it from people being able to build $1.3 million homes and getting an abatement on that improvement. Instead, they can only get a tax abatement on up to $650,000 homes.
And you're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about the issue of tax abatements on properties across the city of Cincinnati. We're joined today by Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation president and CEO and co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group, Carol Gibbs, and also by Mount Lookout Community Council board member, Laura Whitman. We should note that there are a variety of issues surrounding tax abatements in this community. We've heard complaints even echoed already during this program about the way some old homes are being demolished in favor of larger ones or condo developments that may outprice some of the spending budgets of current residents. We've heard concerns over gentrification of some local neighborhoods where people are being priced out. We also spoke with Hamilton County Auditor Dusty Rhodes on this program not that long ago over his concerns about tax abatements causing a massive increase in the number of exempt real estate parcels across the county. And he had estimated that about $8.5 billion in local real estate is now exempt from taxation. That amounts to, according to reporting from WCPO, 26.7% of the county's total real estate value. That's up from 9.5% just about 30 years ago. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. I also have some sound bites from some of the conversation that took place in council committee meetings related to this tax abatement issue. Ultimately, city council voted 7-1, with Betsy Sunderman being the dissenting vote, to cap the tax abatement on homes over $650,000. Let's hear from Michael Tombriggle. He's upset about tax abatements causing teardowns in Hyde Park and Mount Lookout and driving up his property taxes.
Yes, I am very frustrated after all these years.
Five years ago, we tried to deal with this too. And again, I don't want to get too personal, but yes, I live in a $600,000 home in Mount Lookout. And I have beautiful trees, and my neighbors have beautiful trees, and my neighbor is now talking to a developer, and there goes my backyard. What I'm paying $12,000 a year for in real estate taxes is going to be all screwed up because I'm going to be looking at the backs of three McMansions. Did I sign up for that? Absolutely not. And by the way, they're going to be getting tax breaks, and I'm not getting any. I'm paying for all their services that they're going to be enjoying, and it's pathetic. And this is all common sense.
Thank you, Mark.
And we're not exhibiting our common sense right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And on the other hand, Gary Osterfield is a developer, and he says this tax abatement cap will hurt his bottom line.
I have 44 lots to sell. I have three people that live there outside of myself, okay? It takes 10 years to sell a development. To give me a one-year grandfather does nothing. It doesn't help. I understand the intent, but it does not help. The development takes longer, and it does make a difference. My sweet spot is right where this would hurt. I agree with putting a cap on million-dollar houses. I'm not talking about million-dollar houses. I'm talking about less than a million, but more than a half a million. That is a sweet spot. It makes a big difference. You can't change the rules on me. It is not fair. I spent millions of dollars based on the promises of the council members that were in place during the 10 years that I negotiated my development.
Thank you, sir.
And the number to join our conversation is 513-419-7100. We'll get a quick phone call in now. Suzanne. Hi, Suzanne. What's your question or comment? Do we have Suzanne on the line? All right. If Suzanne's not there, we can come back and try later. Are you there, Suzanne? All right, we'll put you back on hold and see if we can reconnect. Again, you're listening to Cincinnati Edition. We're talking about tax abatements across Cincinnati, and we are joined today by Carol Gibbs, the Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation president and CEO, also co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group. We're joined via Zoom today by Mount Lookout Community Council board member Laura Whitman. Carol, we heard from a property owner and a property developer there in the sound bites we played from the council committee meetings. I do want to ask you for a response about the developer's perspective. I mean, there are people who were trying to make investments. What are your thoughts on these developers who seek these abatements in order to move forward on these projects they have in mind?
Well, I mean, I think it's a logical thing to do if you're a developer or even an owner that wants to build a new home. It's an incentive, and in some areas of town, we need incentives. Ultimately, we put these caps on, but Vice Mayor Smitherman and I really are hoping to go to a tiered system. That's going to take some studying, and it probably will take a couple of years to get. So this was just trying to get a cap on what's happening now to try and keep these McMansions, as it was called, from being built in neighborhoods. So.
And let me ask Laura, you heard from, I guess, one of your neighbors in Mount Lookout who bought a home. It sounds like a lovely home. He said it's about $600,000. He's surrounded by trees, but will soon be surrounded by other houses that he didn't sign up for. These property developers or owners will receive a tax break. He will not. I guess that's a common refrain among some of your neighbors.
That's a very strong refrain around a lot of folks around here. So, yes, absolutely. But one of the same comments I wanted to make regarding Mr. Osterfeld's comments is, and to follow up on what Carol was saying, is that Mr. Osterfeld's development, he's talking about a development in California, Ohio. or the California neighborhood of Cincinnati. And that is a prime example of where this tiering concept would come into play. And the tiering concept is where development and tax abatements are targeted to neighborhoods that are seeking development and needing incentive to bring developers to the area. And so that's the positive of tiering. But on the other side, the tiering also decreases the incentive in neighborhoods that don't need that. That would be neighborhoods like Mount Lookout, Hyde Park, and some of these other ones. And so with what Mr. Osterfeld was saying, that would be a great opportunity to still bring some development and incentive for his development and still protect some of the neighborhoods like what Mr. Tom Bregel was talking about.
And let's go back to the phones now. Let's see if we have Suzanne this time. Hi, Suzanne. What's your question or comment? It just sounds like there's a technical problem there on the other end of your line. Suzanne, you might want to hang up and call back, and we'll try to get you back on if we have some time. 513-419-7100. Next up is Scott. Hi, Scott. What's your question or comment?
Hi, Michael. I'm just curious why Mount Lookout and Hyde Park get any abatements whatsoever, because they're the most sought-after, desired neighborhoods, and you really don't need an incentive. So I understand why downtown would get, in some other neighborhoods like Mount Auburn that are transitioning, but why Hyde Park and Mount Lookout?
Scott, we appreciate the call and the question very much. Carol, let me throw that over to you. I mean, when you were putting together this property tax working group and analyzing tax abatements and that sort of thing, was there any concern about specific neighborhoods receiving tax breaks over other ones, or do you think there should be a universal approach across the town?
Well, it's been universal. It always has been. And unless you do a very extensive study to find out where areas, and it probably will be areas of neighborhoods, not even just whole neighborhoods, frankly, where development or redevelopment is necessary or needed to bring values up. And that's kind of the indicator. We spent 18 months meeting monthly and having people come and talk to us, professionals and experts and various areas that we were looking at. And the tiered system is the best system because it really can go into parts of Hyde Park where homes are actually only 100,000 and not a million. But to promote more building in Walnut Hills or Evanston or California. So that's really the intent. Unfortunately, if you just target neighborhoods like saying, okay, nothing in Hyde Park, then the developers are not really interested because they're going to make their big money in the Hyde Park Mount Lookout, Mount Adams area. I mean, that's their point. Hopefully with a $650,000 limit, that'll curtail some of that.
Carol, I understand that the Property Tax Working Group has met more than a dozen times, and over the summer in a virtual meeting because of the pandemic, your group adopted some core ideas, some core goals that you would like the city to explore. I guess I probably should have asked this earlier on, but who makes up the Property Tax Working Group membership?
Membership are directors or their designees of a lot of agencies and companies that have some impact on property taxes. So it was Council on Aging, it was the Home Builders Association, it was the Realtors, it was Community Action Agency. It was there was about 35 people who were invited to be on the group.
And Laura from the Mount Lookout Community Council, is your community council involved in these conversations, or has this been something that you followed?
We followed it. We weren't directly involved in the day-to-day meetings. We did participate, however, in the public meetings that they held.
Okay, well, let's go over some of the goals that were laid out by the Property Tax Working Group. Carol, we know that we've already got this $650,000 cap for tax abatements. Was there any other official action taken on any policy proposals from your group?
That's all that's gone to council so far. We're hoping to bring the rest of it in December. Some of it will have to go to the state. So the plan is to get support from city council, and then to invite the big city mayors or vice mayors, probably to a virtual meeting to try and come up with consensus on the kinds of things we'd like to see, the changes we'd like to see in property taxes, and the way they're handled.
So I've got a bullet pointed list from our friend Lucy May from WCPO and her reporting on this from the summer. One of the issues that you laid out is to advocate for the creation of a housing court with a dedicated support staff to help connect residents with resources. And that's because one of your primary concerns, of course, is people not being able to afford their newly increased property taxes. What would such a court look like?
Well, as a court, actually, that was something that David Mann and Kevin Flynn and Mayor Cranley had brought forth a couple of years ago, and they've been working with the county, and now I think they're waiting for state legislators to actually start it. What we were really advocating was that court happen, but also to make sure that there were resources that were attached to that court for people to find resources to, like funding for repairs for their home, or if they chose to sell, how to do that and what's the fair way to do it, or any other resources they might need.
We heard back from Suzanne, the caller, who we had some technical difficulties with, and she was able to submit her question through our producer, which I have in writing now. And Suzanne wants to know who grants these tax abatements and why are they not stopping in neighborhoods that have already incentivized, like her neighborhood of Northside, that has enough development and doesn't need more. This is something usually through local government. Is that right, Carol?
Yeah, it goes to Department of Community and Economic Development, and then it gets suggested to City Council. Now, there has been several times that have actually gone to certain council members, and then they have put a tax abatement through. The issue is the reason we can't just say, okay, no more tax abatements to Hyde Park, no more tax abatements to Northside, or whatever. Is because there may be some areas of those neighborhoods that do need that incentive. And we were, when we talked about doing the tiered system, we were warned that if we didn't make sure we had enough research done on it, that it would look like redlining.
Let's go back to the phone lines now. We have Beth on the line. Hi, Beth. What's your question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to say I've been watching the tax abatements for a number of years now because I live in Hyde Park, Mount Lookout, and adjoin the property that was broken into five separate lots. And so we saw back then what the tax abatements were doing to the neighborhoods. But as we've looked at it more broadly, what we find is the tax abatements were put in place right after the riots back in the early 2000s. And at the time, Cincinnati didn't have people building homes, so they needed to incentivize them. And they've done that, but the problem is, as they've done the analysis on the tax abatements, the vast majority, and I'm talking like 80 or 90% of the value of the tax abatements are going to the upper class, the neighborhoods that don't want the additional development, and likewise, they're not going to the neighborhoods that need the development. If you look at it from a socioeconomic perspective, the tax abatements are going to rich people, generally not minority people, and so the rest of the city's having to subsidize it. So if you were going to do them now, you would never do them that way. And so as you look at it, I urge people to kind of take a step back, because when they did them, this was never the intention. And so we have to take a step back. And it's gotten caught up now with the developers. But from a city's standpoint, it's driven development, but not in the areas that we need the development.
Beth, thank you so much for the call and sharing your perspective with us. We appreciate it very much. And before I let you all go, Laura, I mean, just based on Beth's phone call there and some of the conversation that we've had today and some of the resources that I've read in preparing for this segment, it seems as though some of the more established neighborhoods that have strong neighborhoods and strong neighbors in them, like Mount Lookout, for example, they find frustration in these tax abatements because it disrupts what people already feel like they're paying property taxes for, the surroundings, which are then turned into other houses. And then in the poorer neighborhoods, people are priced out of even being able to live there. So is the conclusion to be reached here, Laura, that these tax abatements are pretty generally derided by just about every socioeconomic level in the community?
It is interesting when you start looking at it because, yes, there is, it seems like, All segments of the communities have issues with it, which just proves that we need to really revisit the plan, revisit how it's done to make sure that we have an asset to us, but we need to make sure that we're using it properly.
Carol Gibbs is the Mount Auburn Community Development Corporation president and CEO and co-chair of the Property Tax Working Group. And Laura Whitman is on the board of the Mount Lookout Community Council. Laura and Carol, thank you so much for the conversation you shared with us today. This is a complicated issue, one that we're clearly going to have to revisit again, and we'll look forward to doing that and hope to have you back.
Great. Thank you very much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.